Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan has been shot at a rally. His party accuses the Prime Minister, Interior Minister, and a senior military officer of plotting an assassination attempt. That's denied by the government. For a country already deeply divided and recovering from devastating floods, what political dangers does this incident bring? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. Pakistan's former Prime Minister Imran Khan is recovering after being shot at a rally in Wazirabad. A gunman opened fire, killing one man and injuring several others before he was arrested. The shooting's been condemned by politicians in the country and by international leaders. Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif has ordered an investigation, saying violence has no place in Pakistan's politics. President Arif Alvi described it as a heinous assassination attempt. But Khan's party accuses the prime minister, his interior minister, and a senior military officer of plotting an assassination attempt. The government denies that. Kamal Haider has more from Islamabad.
Protests across Pakistan after the failed assassination attempt on the former prime minister Imran Khan. There is considerable anger across the country, and the party has announced that they will now be protesting across this country until their demands are met. Now, Imran Khan, who has been holding that march towards Islamabad known as the Freedom March, was attacked yesterday in what is believed to be a conspiracy. According to his party supporters and also a senior analyst that we spoke to, there was more than one attacker involved in that assassination attempt. And according to his party leaders, this was a well-planned operation that failed. Now, the government, of course, is also going to hold an immediate meeting of its coalition partners. Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif has called that meeting in Islamabad. The Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf is also going to announce its next strategy, but they are still determined that no matter what happens, they will continue with that march on Islamabad. In the meantime, the police here is ready. We have seen them with shotguns and also tear gas shells in order to disperse the crowds should they get violent. This is Kamal Haider reporting for Inside Story.
Imran Khan was elected prime minister in 2018, with his term due to end next year. But he was removed in April after losing a no-confidence vote in parliament. Last week, he began a march with supporters from Lahore to Islamabad, holding large rallies along the way. They're demanding the government calls early elections. Khan faces allegations of corruption that he denies and says are politically motivated. In October, he was barred from holding office for 5 years for incorrectly declaring foreign gifts. Earlier this week, Imran Khan spoke to Al Jazeera about the dangers he faced.
There's always a threat when you are challenging the status quo. There's always a threat. But that should not stop you from doing what is what I believe is a genuine freedom struggle. For me, it is better to die rather than to live a life of slaves under this imported government of crooks. If I have to live under them, I'd prefer death rather than living under these criminals.
All right, let's bring in our guests from Islamabad. We have Rauf Hassan, a spokesperson for former Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan. Haider Zaman Qureshi joins us from Multan in central Punjab. He's a member of the executive committee of the Pakistan People's Party. And from Rawalpindi, we have Masood Akhtar, a former air marshal and a political analyst. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks for joining us today on Inside Story. Rauf, let me start with you today. Just a few moments ago, we played a soundbite from Imran Khan. Earlier in the week, he had spoken to Al Jazeera about the danger that he was facing. He said that he was willing to die for what he called his freedom struggle. Were you concerned that this assassination attempt might happen at this rally in Wazirabad?
Well, yes. In the party, we have been concerned about it. As a matter of fact, oftentimes we have discussed it at party meetings and all. And we were concerned about this simply because of the fact that we were confronting fascists. And these people were capable of just about resorting to any monstrous tactics in order to keep Khan away. Since they have not been able to confront him in the political domain, we were afraid, you know, that there will be attempts to eliminate him physically. And our worst fears came true yesterday. Thank God that he's still there. And he escaped the assassin's bullets, but he's wounded. And at this moment in time, he's in the hospital recovering from an operation that was conducted last evening. Yes, sir, we were mortally afraid of the prospect of such a thing happening at some point in time.
Haider, from your vantage point, how unstable is Pakistan at this precarious moment?
Well, you see, ever since the former prime minister has been voted out, he's not been booted out. He's been voted out through a parliamentary tool, which is part of the constitution. And he has been, weaponizing through lies a certain agenda that he wants to carry forward for his petty political gains, which is very unfortunate. He enjoyed a lot of respect and following, and I'm sure he would still enjoy. But the way he has handled in the 6 months whipped about conspiracy theories of an important government being installed in Pakistan, the U.S. being instrumental in the vote of no confidence, all of those lies which were weaponized, inculcated in the minds of people, incitement to violence, defamation, barrage of attacks on verbal attacks on institutions, including the Supreme Court, the Election Commission, and the institutions of the armed forces for his own political gains. This is unfortunate. But what happened yesterday is equally unfortunate, and it's highly condemnable. And Pakistan People's Party has been a victim of terrorist attacks and assassination attempts. So we cannot. We will not keep silent on such attacks. But having said that, they were shared all the threat alerts. The provincial government and the party, which they are claiming had information, they should have taken adequate precautions, which were not taken. And 24 hours almost have passed. The FIR has not been lodged, and without any evidence, iota of evidence, they have just blamed the Prime Minister and the Interior Minister and senior officers of the armed forces behind this conspiracy. And again, a conspiracy is being whipped, sometimes a conspiracy to murder, sometimes a conspiracy to dislodge his government, and all the agenda is to destabilize Pakistan, sink Pakistan's economy further into doldrums, and elections will happen. They will happen at its own time. But this is unfortunate. Political leaders should engage. We accept that there should be a dialogue. The government would be happy to have a dialogue on charter of economy, on political reforms, electoral reforms. But the way, unfortunately, the former prime minister, and believe me, senior elements within PTI also are very upset about weaponizing of these lies and using them for political gains and defamation and incitement to violence. And you've seen that how loss of life has happened and the protests, their workers are certainly infuriated. But thank God he's alive, and it's a time to introspect and reassess their situation and not take the country into a turmoil. Wait for their turn. If they're still popular, they should have a country under their watch.
Sorry to interrupt you. I want Masood, I see that you want to jump in, and I will give you that chance in just a moment. But Raouf, I do want to throw this back to you. Absolutely. And let me just ask you the question, because you heard Haider saying talking about the fact that the PTI has accused the prime minister, the interior minister, and a senior army officer of plotting this assassination attempt. Of course, the government denies these allegations. You all have made these allegations against these individuals. And I want to ask, is there any evidence that you have that you can share with regard to who it was who carried out this attack?
Well, to begin with, let me say that I've heard this long fabricated harangue from this participant. And whatever he has said, for example, I mean, I would like to know, where is it that there has been incitement to violence, you know, from the side of the former prime minister? When is it that he has incited people to violence? And as a matter of fact, you know, throughout the 6 days of this march, there was not even a small little particle that was disturbed or that was broken. There was none at all. And all the other things that he has said, you know, that, you know, this government, you know, which was, you know, voted in, I'm sorry, it has not been voted in. It has been booted in simply because of the circumstances under which, you know, this government has taken shape. They bought legislators, you know, money circulated, money. They bought legislators, you know, to vote for them. Our coalition partners were booted away from us and booted into their camp. There's so much else, basically, and I don't want to waste the time. Mm. Unfortunately, I would strongly contend, you know, that whatever this gentleman has said is nothing but a composition of lies. And I think it's important to know that we measure our words, you know, before we utter them. So far as your question is concerned, yes, sir.
Okay. Rauf, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I'll come back to you in just a minute, but I do want to give Masoud a chance here because he hasn't had a chance to speak yet. Masoud, I want to ask your opinion about what's happened here. Has this assassination attempt made Imran Khan more popular than ever before? And how much is this going to help him and his political future?
I guess so. It certainly has added to his popularity, his vote bank. In sympathy will inflate, and let us face it, that his narrative of corruption on the side of the PDM and the PMLN government leaders and of regime change has carried with the people. So majority of the people in Pakistan right now are supporting his narrative. So that is the situation. But having said that, I think this assassination attempt was incoming. It had been forecasted, and I'm glad that you had played the audio beeper where Mr. Imran Khan said that, yes, there is a threat to his life. If there was a threat to his life, even despite the fact that he's very brave, he said that he can die for the cause. His party should have ensured his security. Punjab is his province, the government is his, and they should have ensured that he has bulletproof glass in front of where he stands. The buildings should have been occupied. The key buildings should have been occupied from where the fire has come. The caravan or his cavalcade should not be stopping in unknown areas. And most importantly, if there was a threat, the intelligence has failed. And so far as, is it a conspiracy or not? I think whoever planned it, picked up and impoverished a very, very poor-looking guy, a religious zealot who cannot afford a weapon worth 5,000 rupees. And he has given weird kind of statements, and they were played on the national television number one and passed on to everyone. And that is when, and I think the PTI people should have realized that this can happen in the information warfare. And they realized it. I think, thank God that Imran Khan is safe. Mm. Otherwise, this would have really destabilized Pakistan even more. When we talk of poor economy, we have all contributed to it. The irony is that our democracy is still not doing well. We are not a democratic country, number one. We are a religious country, number one. So the net result, there is no total human equality. And the consequence is that whoever comes to power, they treat the other, the opposition, as unequals. And when that happens, the trouble starts.
Haider, let me ask you, with regard to the march and the rallies from Lahore to Islamabad, how concerned are you that they're going to continue? And are you concerned that it's going to be creating even more tension going forward?
Mohammed, certainly it is now PTI's choice whether to up the tempo or do an internal catharsis. And some sanity should prevail. I don't expect a lot of sanity because they've not shown that. What Masoud has said, Maybe they can get some more brownie points, short-term and sympathy, but it has certainly been established. The party is irresponsible. The party's security team has miserably failed. The Chief Minister of Punjab, which is the coalition partner, they have failed. They should have put in adequate snipers. There was no security plan. The way he's been moving, he's exposed. All political leaders are exposed, and it is not a threat to Imran Khan. A lot of high-profile public office holders in Pakistan during the war on terror, we've had high-profile assassinations attempts. Pakistan People's Party lost its leader, Benazir Bhutto Shaheed, in an assassination attempt. Whoever planned it or did it spontaneously, a JIT has been made. But look at the apathy. Look at the incompetence that they take Imran Khan to a hospital, which is not even a government hospital, which does not even have the capacity to issue a medical legal certificate, which is imperative and it's a legal requirement for a lodging of an FIR. 48 hours almost have passed. The FIR has not been lodged. So there is a lot of things to be looked inwards for PTI. But coming to what the gentleman from PTI said, look at the 25th May actions the PTI did in Islamabad, the Supreme Court judgment. It all says how violence was carried out, how people went into red zone, how the Supreme Court of Pakistan's order and Islamabad High Court's orders were flouted, and how people with weapons were brought into the red zone and the diplomatic area. So they say something else, but they, you know, never walk the talk. And now also they've been submitting fake affidavits. Even as we speak now, yesterday, the Supreme Court of Pakistan and the Islamabad High Court required from the former prime minister in writing that he gives an affidavit owning up what the lawyers said, because the lawyers have chickened out. The lawyers who gave the assurance before the Supreme Court of Pakistan on 25th of May on behalf of the PTI are now running away, and the general secretary of the party, Asad Umar, is again also running away. So, they have a baggage to carry. They have people whose audios have been leaked, who are preparing armed struggle.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are starting to run out of time, and I do want to give Raouf a chance to respond. Raouf, obviously, I'll give you a chance to respond to what Haider was saying there, but I also want to ask you, from your vantage point, is the march from Lahore to Islamabad going to continue? Will that be altered in any way, considering what happened? And I do need to follow up with you once more with regard to the evidence that PTI has said will be presented as far as who is behind the assassination. When will it be presented to the public?
Well, first of all, in response to what has once again been said, I think, it's inappropriate to be judgmental about things, that one is not aware of. This gentleman is not aware of the security precautions that we had taken, and so far as the lodging of the FIR is concerned, that was discussed at a senior party level meeting today, and I think later today when Chairman Imran talks to the media, I think all these decisions will come forth. The problem is that in this country, and I think we'll have to give me some time, I need to explain it to you. What is the polarization about? The polarization is about the fact, that People's Party and PMLN and such other parties, which are today part of the coalition, basically they've looted, plundered, and ravaged this country, for a good 35 to 40 years. Khan came into power on the pledge, that he's going to introduce justice for all, irrespective of any discrimination. And unfortunately, this is where the country is divided. These people, they constitute the mafias which have ruled Pakistan in 35 to 40 years. And Khan is the one who's fighting this mafia. In 3 years and 8 months that he was in power, he continued to fight the mafias. And fortunately, the institutions of the country have been corrupted to an extent, that they were not able to stand on their own being. And consequently, the accountability process was delayed, but was very slow to move on. And in the process, since they were the ones who were going to be the victims of that accountability process, they nurtured this conspiracy. The conspiracy is vouched for even in minutes of the National Security Meeting, which acknowledges that there was blatant interference in the affairs of Pakistan. Nothing. And a dimash was served on the United States of America. So, so far I can go on. I've got facts and figures, but there are two parts. Two other questions that you posed to me. Number Do you want me to answer them now or move on?
Just let me give Masood a chance here.
Mohammed, I need to respond.
All right, but Haider, let me. Haider, we're starting to run out of.
But I need to respond.
I will give you a chance to respond. Haider, I'll give you a chance to respond. We're starting to run out of time. I do need to ask Masood a question here. Masood, you can see even from this conversation how fraught the political situation is in Pakistan right now. I want to ask you from your vantage point: is there a way out of this situation in Pakistan? Is there a chance for any kind of statecraft to be happening? Can we see politicians sitting down, talking to one another, and trying to calm the tensions, or is it just going to get worse?
I think very few chances of people sitting together. Right now, the situation is bad. It is very, very tense. The people in Islamabad are rattled by this incident yesterday and the support that Imran Khan carries. But we must realize the basic problem. This zealot who supposedly attacked and he was a diversion, whatever be the case, please remember, Nawaz Sharif, he had a shoe hurled at him. One of his ministers got a bullet in an arm from a zealot, from a religious zealot. His defense minister got ink thrown at him. And I'm afraid Imran Khan and all his ministers, once they had been deposed, the government was a little... unwise to launch an FIR against them under 295C, which is a religious law. And Imran Khan and all his ministers had to run to Islamabad High Court to get protection from there. Otherwise, somebody could bump them off. This is the basic problem. And unless and until both sides sit together and decide that this is a country going to be run purely on the form of democracy, I think we're going to run into a problem. That is exactly when the other side says, and I'm sandwiched in between the two, that on 25th of May, PTI, it flouted all the agreements. No, that's not true. In fact, before that, when Imran Khan was in power and all the three parties, which is JUI, People's Party and PMLN, they launched their rallies, Imran Khan never stopped them. He never got extra police. In fact, his government that was there in Punjab. He could have thrashed the people around. And I think there could have been mayhem even at that time. So they must take a breather, step back, and they must talk to one another, evolve a consensus of what this state is going to be, and learn statecraft. Otherwise, I think we are asking for trouble.
Now, Haider, I'm going to give you a chance to respond, but I also want to ask you a version of the same question. Is there a chance that political parties can actually sit down together right now and try to de-escalate the tensions that are going on in Pakistan?
Mohammed, that is the only way out, and statecraft has to happen. The sooner, the better. While Prime Minister Imran Khan was in office, he never even sat with the opposition when it was matters of national security or tensions with India or even the Kashmir issue where when India, transgressed and violated the UN resolutions and, took out the constitutional rights and liberties guaranteed to the Kashmiris. He doesn't have a very good history of a dialogue. He always believes in confrontational politics. He does not believe in dialogue or talking. And I wish sanity prevails and statecraft comes into play. But coming to the loot and plunder, a comment was made. We have had a new history set up where, state gifts and heads of state gifts were sold. And Mr. Imran Khan has been declared by the Election Commission of Pakistan, which is a constitutional office, the most apex body for parliamentary regulatory affairs, to be the most corrupt person. He has been guilty of selling state gifts that were gifted to him by brotherly nations or heads of state level. He's been guilty of things which were involved in foreign funding and illegitimate funding. His party has been declared, and Islamabad High Court has also not suspended that verdict. So, and he himself, his party is involved in billion tree tsunami, billions of rupees were lost, Peshawar BRT, and corruption in the province of Punjab of billions and billions of rupees. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how sitting in a glass house, they make comments of make him a holy sacred personality. He's been guilty of selling
Haider, I'm sorry. Haider, I'm sorry. Haider and Rauf, I'm sorry. Gentlemen, I'm sorry, but we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. I want to thank our guests very much, Rauf Hassan, Haider Saman, and Masood Akhtar. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.